Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? The weekend is, oh, it's so close. You can just reach out and grab it. That's how close it is. So welcome back to Overnight America for at least one more hour. Our American Stories starts at 2 o'clock. So got about 55 minutes left of the show tonight. If you would like to participate, if you'd like to chime in, anything you want to talk about. I mean, we connect all of America. That's what we do here at night. We're based out of St. Louis, Missouri. We're live, but hey, you don't have to be here to call in. The call or text line is 314-436-7900, or you can also use 800-925-1120. And don't forget, follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker, or you can also listen to the podcast. It's very easy for you to do that. The show download link you can get at kmox.com/overnight. That's our station, kmox.com/overnight. And I'm watching more footage from the Australian broadcasters that have done an excellent job covering what happened in New Zealand. And apparently there is one of the individuals in custody is from Australia, or at least is Australian. And so far, if you haven't been following what happened in New Zealand, Christchurch shooting is just horrific. So here's what we know. A man fired a rifle in a mosque, and there was a second attack in another mosque. We're talking about some pretty sick individuals. Three men, one woman is in custody. And at least for one of the shootings, the person enabled himself with through a video camera or whatever it was to do a live video, which he put up on Facebook for people to watch him go into this mosque and shoot innocent men, women, and children. Police confirm multiple fatalities. They haven't announced yet how many. And there were other things found in these suspects' cars, like bombs. It's just really, really, really scary. Like, I'm looking at one of the pictures now. It looks like he had a couple of, like, gas canisters in the back. And he, whoever this person was, it just went through and it was, I mean, the only way I can describe it is the person just casually walked around this building, went in through the front door of this mosque, and if there was anyone that was walking around, he just aimed and went for it. Let me play some of this, some of the latest news that's going on right now in here. They're talking about the suspect right now on this.
People may have already witnessed it this afternoon, unaware of what they were going to see.
He's talking about the video.
We're going to have conversations in the coming days about social media and what we click on all too frequently, I think, Phil.
Absolutely. And look, the problem is you can't unsee it. And it'll stay with you for a very long time, and particularly if you're younger and don't have the context or the ability or
the
resilience, it could have a profound effect. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Of course, there's the curiosity factor. What are they talking about? People, no doubt, some people will be tempted to search it out. Well, let's hope not many are, because I have spoken to one person that did view it. And that person said he very much regrets it and he wished he
had. Yeah, so what you're seeing on social media, if you're trying to follow what's going on in New Zealand and what the latest is with the updates from the police and media from out there, of course, there's these videos that get slipped in there. And since it was streamed online, the videos exist. and people are sharing it. It is, I guess, part of the discussion for some people. And like I mentioned, it's a weird thing to seek out, but what they just mentioned on the Australian broadcasting channel down there, the ABC, was that what happens when there's someone that's young that comes across that on social media? What happens when they don't know how to process that and they don't know how to handle that sort of real-life violence in their life? It's a pretty damaging thing. There was a story I meant to talk about the other day, and it actually plays into this. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Maybe we'll have to get an expert on to talk about how this hurts young people's minds when they see these sort of real violent videos. And we're not talking about video games. What we find is that video games, when they play these things, and please, I hope people don't blame video games for this person, this maniac and these insane people out there doing things like this. Whenever they do those studies on video games, they find out that there's always like a spike of, you know, the thrill of playing it, but it's just a spike. It goes up and down very quickly. In fact, it's a spike that is very similar to someone playing sports. So if you get into a game of pickup basketball, it's pretty competitive. You're seeing the same spike, and then it just disappears when you're done playing. It's not something that is sustained over a long period of time. So in the case that we're seeing, from what I read with what happened in New Zealand, they were planning this for years. This isn't something that you would be able to credit, at least based on how we know video games affect people's minds. But people are blaming that online too. You know, okay, here's a story from The Verge. This is from February 24th, and it's actually a little while ago, but I think it plays into what they were just mentioning over in New Zealand and how this viral video is going to go around and how some people are going to seek it out because they're curious and they want to see, you know, what people are talking about. And then some people are going to accidentally see it because they think it's a coverage of the news or it's a news clip or something like that. But what happens when you're 13 and you stumble upon something like this on accident and it's something you can't unsee and you can't process because you're not mature enough to process something like this? Well, companies like Facebook are always trying to find ways to combat this. This was live streamed on Facebook. This is what I read first, unless I misread that somewhere. But he was live streaming this attack on Facebook, so people were watching this. And there are people at Facebook, and we're talking about lots of employees, that are monitoring the content of what's being posted on that social media platform. And there's these hubs, these tech centers in the United States. And the story from The Verge actually follows one in Arizona, where they're going through the training, and they talk about how they find these things, how they flag these things, and how they try to hide these things and delete them and make sure it doesn't happen. So they follow one person by the name of Chloe, and she immediately started having panic attacks based on what she was viewing on Facebook and filtering out. She spent 3.5 weeks in training trying to harden herself against the onslaught of disturbing posts, hate speech, violent attacks, graphic pornography, things like that. As a full-time Facebook content moderator, things would get flagged, and then they would have to watch these things and then determine if it meets the standard to delete it or remove it from there. So part of the education is you're in a classroom and you want to work for Facebook and you want to be one of these moderators and you think it's a job that's worth doing. And it's a classroom of people, of your peers, that are also training to be these moderators. And they put you up in the front of the class and they have you press play on one of the flagged pieces of media that someone said doesn't belong on Facebook. And she describes how this training played out. She said the video that she had was a man being murdered, stabbed dozens of times, screaming, and she knew immediately, you remove this. She knows that Section 13 of the Facebook Community Standard prohibits videos that depict the murder of one or more people. When Chloe explains this to the class, she was able to step down, and that was the correct answer. So she was able to look at the video and get it out. However, she wasn't unable to unsee what she saw, so she ended up leaving the classroom. She said her voice was shaking. She was shaking. They have counselors on there, but the way that they describe these Facebook moderator type of settings, these calls, they're almost set up like call centers where you have your little cubicle and you just, one after another, you just keep watching, you have a quota and you have to watch so many videos. There's a bunch of videos in a queue and it's just one after another. They say they don't give you enough time to unwind or try to separate yourself from some of the hard things you just saw. The counselors are helpless. I mean, they do not help you. From what I understand, they basically say, oh, it'll be okay, honey. And then they move on to the next person. It's like putting a Band-Aid on something that would need stitches. So they all sign these non-disclosure. They all pledge their allegiance to Facebook. And then they, however, find themselves in this one call center in Arizona making $28,000 a year to watch over and over and over some pretty despicable, terrible things, which no doubt this type of video is going to be shared over and over and over again on Facebook. And they're going to have to constantly find ways to filter it and stop this from happening. Chloe says she makes $15 an hour to see this over and over and over. There's about 4,500 existing moderators. They're responsible for reviewing every type of content that's been flagged to see if it violates their community's conduct, community standards. They say it's pretty terrible. They say it's horrible, the things that they witness, and everyone else also has some sort of shock. They have some sort of mental problem with it. It's hard for a lot of people to digest this sort of thing. They're just looking for a job at a company like Facebook. They think, oh yeah, Facebook's so great. I'm going to go work for Facebook. I'll make, you know, $100,000 a year, and I'll live in a cool community, and I'll go inside, and they'll have baristas there, and I'll get free bananas, and there'll be a slide I'll be able to go down to. You know, it'll be fun. Everything's going to be colorful. I'm working for Facebook. No, you're basically going in, you get a storage locker, you sit down at a cubicle like a call center, and then you see videos of depictions of terrible things, of violence and of pornography and just crimes, lots of crimes. Employee turnover happens all the time. They said they can't keep them there long enough because they're so traumatized by what they saw. It's just bad. And all the people that The Verge talked to on this, they say there's about 1,500 videos you see a week. And then they determine if you made the right call on them to see if you're up to par with what sets the standard or not. She says people meet them in the parking lot. People get upset. People get upset because they feel like their content shouldn't be taken down. So they try to seek out these moderators. They try to confront them in real life, threaten them in real life. I can't believe you took down this thing. People get violent to them. So it's a terrible job. Just one of the other ones in Facebook. So think about this. When this video goes around circulating itself online, yes, it'll find its way being taken down pretty quick by these moderators, but you're not the only ones to see them, I guess. That just happens to tie in what the ABC brought in. People, there's so many screwed up people in this world. There's so many screwed up people. You just hope that the screwed up people don't do things like this. And they don't have to involve other people. Just terrible. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. We'll keep an eye on what's going down in New Zealand. They really haven't given a count yet of how many people they believe have been injured or killed in this, but there was hundreds of people that were at these mosques between the two. So once we find something out, if there is something to find out, we'll let you know. All right, it's Overnight America, KMOX. Now, welcome back to Overnight America. So I think New Zealand's Prime Minister is speaking right now. Let me see if we can bring this up real quick.
...of violence. Many of those who will have been directly affected by the shooting may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here.
And right before that, she mentioned that there wasn't a number that they can give just yet. Those injured or those have been killed.
Who has perpetuated this violence against us is not. They have no place in New Zealand. There is no place in New Zealand for such acts of extreme and unprecedented violence, which is, it is clear this act was. For now, my thoughts, and I'm sure the thoughts of all New Zealanders, are with those who have been affected and also with their families. My thoughts also to those in Christchurch who are still dealing with an unfolding situation. The advice from police continues to be that people remain indoors. I acknowledge that may mean that some families are separated, but please continue to listen out for...
Yeah, so they're still addressing, of course, to everyone that's out there. You know what's fascinating, too, is to see how they cover this on the Australian public broadcast that's out there. And I read the bottom scroll where they have worldwide news. So they talked about the black box and the Ethiopian plane crash. They're talking about power companies trying to restore electricity in Sydney after storms. And Beto O'Rourke made the bottom scroll. That's worldwide news to them that he said he's going to run for president. Really? Isn't that a weird thing if they're going to pick something up? They're going to pick that up as one of the bylines, that the storylines they're going to cover? That's weird to me. Let's see. Head of the New York's Gambino crime family, Frank Kelly, shot dead. So they have that. So they pick up Beto O'Rourke and then a crime boss being shot here as worldwide news. Huh. Well, how about that? Just weird to see the things they decide to cover. Text message says, and when talking about some of the Facebook moderators, sounds like a cop's job. No, that's much different. I mean, I think these Facebook moderators are just behind a computer. They have no idea what it's like to confront some of those evil things face to face. No idea. They don't understand the threat of it with them being on the other end. I mean, it's, I can't imagine. You know, everyone that, there's another story. I don't even know if I have time to bring it up today. If you see this, if you get a chance, maybe you can go check it out. I'll just kind of direct you to Fox 2's website. Fox 2 Now, St. Louis Police Union calls circuit attorney a menace. Good for them. I mean, when it comes to Kim Gardner and the mess we're seeing in the city, and even Wesley Bell in the county, good for them, because they have to continue to fight against the nonsense that these prosecutors are allowing and putting up with, and the non-support that they give to the police who are out there trying to make things safer for everyone. It's so ridiculous. It's such a mess here in the city of St. Louis. There's no reason why the prosecutor should have zero cooperation. I should say it the other way around, though. So there's no reason the police should have zero cooperation from the prosecutor's office. And when you see these things with, like, Law and Order on television, whenever you watch those shows, it was always like two parts, the law and the order. They always work together, you know? And that's how they got things done. They were on the same page. This prosecutor could care less about upholding the law. It's more about their social injustices and the things they want to look at. It's about trying to rank themselves a higher profile. It's trying to make what they think would be their own type of justice as opposed to upholding the law. It's so ridiculous. And it's so tiring. Yeah, that's a whole different deal. I was going to do that story tonight, but I don't think I'm going to cover it. All right. What do we want to do here? You know, next week's going to be an interesting week. Next week, we're going to have a live paranormal investigator in the studio, and we're going to have him and his crew go through our floor here at KMOX. His name is John Lindsay. And what we're going to do is let him do his instruments and see if he can find any paranormal activity in our floor here. I've talked to a couple of different people that work here, and they've said some strange things have happened to them. This will be pretty fun. We're going to do that live on the air. I actually talked to John Lindsay about that. Maybe we'll replay that here in the next segment. Yeah, we could do that. That would be pretty fun. I also talked to my friend who's out in Denver. His name's Ryan Schuling, and he is someone that has... He works at a radio station, KHOW. He's someone that has been part of many different storms. We lived in Michigan. We never had the chance to work together, but we were at Central Michigan University at the same time. He was a graduate teacher, you know, graduate student. So he was going through and getting higher education when I was going through. So he taught some classes that I was involved in. And I thought he was great. He was very personable, great person. And he works now in Denver, and I wanted to talk to him about the storms that came through, that bomb cyclone. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll replay that interview coming up next. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. Now, maybe we'll cover a little bit of this press conference. I see that Fox News picked it up. You know, I've been streaming the Australian public broadcast out there. So it says right now they believe about 40 people have lost their lives in that mosque shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. Let's
because we are not a place where violent extremism exists. We reject those notions and we must continue to reject them. This is not an enclave for that kind of behaviour, for that kind of ideology. We will and must reject it. This is a place where people should feel secure and will feel secure. I am not going to let this change New Zealand's profile. None of us should.
Prime Minister, if they weren't on the, our intelligence agency's watch list, why not?
Oh, obviously, Barry, it's an indication to you that they had not acted in a way that warranted it. Again, though, feel free to ask further questions. At this time, I'm not in a place to give you additional information.
Right, so they said they were not on a watch list, is what he was mentioning. Yeah.
Sorry, Barry, taking a question from Claire.
Have you had any information from Australia about whether they were on watch lists in Australia or what the one who has said he was... born in Australia?
My understanding at this stage is that they weren't on watch lists. Again, I don't want to go too much beyond this. It is early days. You'll also understand I won't want to jeopardise the case that may be taken in the future as well. I do also want to acknowledge that I have been contacted by Prime Minister Scott Morrison. I tend to speak with him directly as soon as I'm able.
So there are about 30 people killed at the Dean's Avenue Mosque is what they're saying. Maybe the early estimates now.
The Deputy Prime Minister and myself.
This is what they said in the press conference.
The age of the victims?
Not at this stage. I will have been...
He also said 10 died at the Linwood Avenue Mosque.
...were being brought to Christchurch A&E, and you certainly can see from that footage there is a real range of ages there. I imagine that these would have represented particular brothers, fathers, sons.
All right, so right now we're looking at about 40 people have been killed, 48 treated for other injuries in New Zealand right now. Their Prime Minister speaking live here from the Australian Broadcasting Company, but you're hearing it on KMOX here in the United States.
How is it not that they
Again, these are obviously questions that at this point I'm unable to give additional details on. Obviously, though, that offender is in custody now, so I can give that assurance he has been apprehended. He is also accompanied by two other associates. He is being actively questioned, obviously. These may be additional questions that you could put to the Commissioner of Police.
Yeah, they also mentioned, she said that there were... four that were arrested, three men and one woman.
But obviously these are absolutely questions that we'll be asking, including access to firearms.
What is your advice about any ongoing risks in either Christchurch or other centres, and what is the advice to people out there who still might be very worried about the situation?
At this stage, I'm certainly asking people to continue to follow the advice of the police. Yes, we have apprehended, there have been three individuals apprehended. However, the police aren't taking for granted that there may well be others that that may need to be brought into custody. They've got no reason to expect that, but they haven't ruled it out. So please, in the meantime, continue to listen to police advice. But I also want to give assurance to people. The police are obviously incredibly active on the ground. They are bringing in additional police officers. The Defence Force are bringing them down. So just listen to the advice that's available to you. But we are ensuring the security of those who are moving around in Christchurch at this time.
So this is Prime Minister Ardern from Wellington, New Zealand right now, giving a press conference, an update of what happened maybe about 4 hours ago or so in Christchurch, New Zealand. So what they're saying is about 40 people have been killed, dozens injured. They said that's what they believe to be the numbers right now. So it's not a official count, but that's what the preliminary numbers are. Between the two mosques. Pretty terrible. It got some sick people in this world. Unbelievable. I'm going to continue to watch and monitor this. If there's anything new that comes out, we'll make sure to bring it up. You know, earlier in the show, I brought a friend of the show on, Ryan Schuling. He is someone that has been around for a while in the broadcast, but mostly if you live in Michigan, you may have heard from him because he did sports talk in Grand Rapids. He did sports talk in Lansing. He was all over the place. And I also happen to know him from school, because when I was going to Central Michigan University, he was someone that was doing his graduate work, so he was teaching some classes as part of his higher studies, and I just so happened to be in one of his classes, which was cool. We stayed in touch. He's now working at a radio station out in Denver, and you, as you know, that bomb cyclone, man, what a crazy storm that rolled through there. I wanted to get his perspective on it. Joining us now, Ryan Schuling.
Well, one Ryan to another. Hello, my friend. How are things in St. Louis?
Good. So you've been out in Denver for a little bit now, just in time to make it for the giant storm that came through.
Absolutely. And you know what? We were very well prepared for this, both you and I, with our childhoods in Michigan. But this was different. I mean, you learn things about the geography of Denver being on the Front Range with Fort Collins to the north and Colorado Springs to the south. And the accuracy with which they're able to predict weather varies a lot in what happens in the higher altitudes in the mountains to the west. So we're talking like Aspen and Vail and in that general area. So when they predicted this bomb cyclone, if you will, and the winds circulating the way that they were, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But then, you know, once they measured a low pressure reading that was the lowest on record in Pueblo, which is just the south of here, that's when you knew that things were going to take an ominous turn, and they certainly did.
Yeah, so you're with KHOW, Denver's talk station. Did people sleep at the radio station throughout the night because they were stranded there?
That's a great question. In fact, we were dealing with this as the hours went by in the morning, and my program director, Tim Spence, decided, well, if they're going to name the darn thing, then I guess we're going to have to make some preparations. So our sister station, KLA, basically went into full weather and traffic mode. And that's where it really got dicey, because whether it was the east-west freeways, which, of course, people in St. Louis will know I-70 extends out here, either way going out west toward the mountains or east toward Kansas, that the latter was actually worse going toward the plains of Kansas. And as you know, it would get the western part of Kansas and Nebraska pretty hard as well. And then the north and southbound freeways, I-25 going out of town, whether you're going north or south from the downtown region of Denver, that was also shut down. So in all four directions, if you wanted to get out of the city, you weren't going to do it on the freeways, that's for sure. And but basically lockdown mode, all the schools were closed. Denver Public closed the day before in anticipation of this. And this is one of those storms that it lived up to the billing. I was telling you earlier, Ryan, that four reporters from the Weather Channel were actually here on the ground reporting live in real time. And I think what really kind of was the variable in all of this was not just the snowfall and how rapid it was falling, which was like 2 inches per hour at one point, but the winds.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 70-mile-an-hour winds here, and that made the roads basically undrivable. They couldn't keep up with the clearing the snow, and it was a real nightmare here for a good while, and I think most people were best served just by hunkering down and staying home.
Yeah, when you say a good while, how long did the storm itself last where it was untravelable? If that's even a word, I don't know.
I like it. If you made it up, then you should enter that in. But yeah, it was around high noon is where it really started getting bad in terms of full snow from what was kind of a moist snow. And this is the weird part is, you know, late into the night before, we were looking at temperatures here in Denver that were hovering right around 50 degrees. And then the bottom fell out of that.
Oh, wow.
And the low pressure center, of course, moved northeast from where it was. And it was just literally, you could say, a perfect storm of meeting the moisture, low pressure system, winds whipping around, and just kind of those confluence of factors coming into play. And it extended from noon to 2 to 3 p.m. And, you know, again, basically the roads were just filled with slush. It was about a foot deep in some places. It was just almost, unless you had a 4x4, almost unable to navigate it whatsoever.
Oh, and even then I've seen the photos and people posting up on the blogs where someone will try to make it to the gas station. They thought, oh, I can just hop up to the corner gas station. Nope. With all of the blowing snow through it. Joining us now, Ryan Schuling and from KHOW in Denver. I love hearing these broadcast stories of people that get stuck or they're at the radio station. They're not allowed to leave. I'm going to guess you're the type of guy that maybe walked outside for a brief minute just to see what the conditions felt like on your skin.
Brian, you know me too well. That's exactly what happened. I went outside. I can send you the short video I shot, about 30 seconds worth. And again, we're from the Great White North in Michigan, and we get some tough winters. But when that wind chill kicks in, 70-mile-an-hour winds. Then the visibility was down. It was cutting through you like a knife. And, yeah, I didn't last very long out there. The video only lasted about 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that. So it was 50 degrees before the storm hit?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, exactly. I mean, the night before and the day before, the high temperature was probably right around 60.
Wow.
So you're seeing these signs on the freeways saying, you know, warning, there will be blizzard-like conditions, roads will be snow-covered, and I'm driving going, it is 60 degrees out right now and sunny. I don't believe this. And then, sure enough, it happened, and, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, with modern technology, their ability to measure exactly, you know, where these storms are charted, where they're passed through, I mean, it really hit exactly where they said, and you know, kudos to all the meteorologists out there, and particularly the Weather Channel. They really did nail it. I think people were more prepared. We did have, unfortunately, there were some accidents, fatality that included a local trooper, police officer who was outside of his vehicle. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you can do so much to prepare, again, to hunker down. But once the reality of the storm hits, there's only read and react at that point.
Yeah, and Central Michigan, where we went to college, really didn't have... there were storms, and there were people that would talk about the days where it was, you know, 10 feet tall, snowbanks and things. But the farther north you went to Michigan, this seems like a normal day up in the UP. All the stories I've heard up there, this is something they've prepared for pretty much every winter. And I always wonder, too, If it's 50 degrees the day before, how many people start showing up to work in the light jackets thinking, you know, oh, nothing's going to really be a big deal? Like in Michigan, when you get a 50-degree day outside the winter, people are in shorts and flip-flops. You know, it feels like a warm summer day there. So I also think, okay, great. Now you're stranded in your car. You're wearing shorts. The jacket's thin. And who knows how long you're going to last because no one can get to you because there's a million other emergencies going on. It's good to be prepared for these things.
Oh, that's such a good point, too, the prioritization of, you know, who can they get to and how severe is the accident? Are there injuries involved? And it is one of those where people were trapped on the freeways up in the higher mountain ranges. If we go west on I-70 there, and that has happened more than once. We've had here in Denver more than our fair share of avalanche situations
so far
this winter. It's been a really chaotic, mercurial, literally and figuratively, winter here in Denver. You know, the locals are more used to it than I am, but you mentioned, say, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're more accustomed to it, I believe, in my opinion. They're more well-suited for snow clearance. There are more trucks out and able to clear the roads. That seems to be a slower process here in Denver. And again, with the volatile nature of the weather, do they wait until it melts? Do they, you know, what roads do they have to clear? Which ones are first priorities? And there will go, Ryan, a couple of days here where there are slush-covered roads, maybe side streets, urban areas that don't get cleared for days on end, and that continues to be a hazard even into today and tomorrow, and we expect about 50 degrees by Sunday.
Yeah, I know your program director, probably eager to get a look back at how the ratings did. You probably had half the city listening to you guys when there's big emergencies like this, I'm sure. And everyone, all hands on deck. Isn't there something magical about everyone, all hands on deck, when you're a broadcaster? It's so cool when you got a bunch of moving pieces and you put this masterpiece together on the air. It sounds like you guys did a wonderful job covering this, so I want to applaud you.
Well, thanks, Ryan, and that's exactly right. I mean, when you hear about, well, everything's going to online, to podcasts, to, you know, portable audio, and that's all a big part of it. You have to evolve in this business, but there's a certain element, like you and I, we're both old school when it comes to radio, that to be live and local and on the scene and the eyes, you know, and ears for everybody out there listening, really nobody can get to you with the immediacy of radio, with the information of radio as quickly as that medium does. So no matter how much content might go online, podcasts, everything else, there's always going to be that need, like you just touched on, to have that live local coverage of a event in real time like is happening, and the weather affects everybody. There's nobody that's excluded from that.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's not just the weather. It's the every day there's something going on in your community that you're not going to be able to catch up anywhere else. And radio is a great delivery method for that and a great way to connect with people. It's how many other mediums out there can have conversations like this? You just don't have it in real time where you can talk about things that affect communities. So Ryan Schuling over at KHOW in Denver, I'm so glad you spent some time tonight to join us here on KMOX.
Ryan, great catching up. Thanks for having me.
I'll have to do it again sometime. He joins us on the GL International Realty guest line. One segment left until we say goodbye for the weekend. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
Hard to believe that it's almost the weekend yet again. So just some programming notes. Next Thursday, I will be out and Brad Young will be filling in. It'll be the night that producer Mike and myself go to the Wings Blues game over at Enterprise Center. We haven't quite figured out what we're going to do for a friendly wager on that. Well, how the other person will have to be embarrassed. So if for whatever reason the Blues lose, then I don't know what I'm going to have to get producer Mike to do. And if the Wings lose, which is the most likely scenario because the Wings are terrible right now, I don't know what embarrassing thing he'll want me to do. I recommended to him that the loser would have to learn the Carlton dance and have to perform it in public. I don't know why. He said he didn't want to do that. I thought it was a good idea. So there's still some options on the table for that. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have John Lindsay in the studio, kind of. John Lindsay is a paranormal investigator, and I talked to him earlier about what he's going to be doing. He's not going to be spending much time in the studio. We're going to be walking and talking, and we don't have enough time to play this whole interview. But next Wednesday night, he's going to bring his crew, and he's going to bring his equipment. We're going to see if we can find us some paranormal activity in the KMOX studios. Let me just play some of this here, because we won't get the whole thing in, but next Wednesday night's going to be a fun show. I wanted to point out that I've started to talk to people around the building that we're doing this, and I've started to compile some of their ghost stories of things that they're convinced happened to them in this building, in some of the locations they happened in. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of our news anchors, Alex Degman, swears that after he came out of the bathroom, he heard someone following him, but when he turned around, there was no one there. So there's that area. We have Valerie, who does our production. In one of the old production rooms, she swears that in a filing cabinet, something was agitating itself in there. And it happened multiple times, but whenever they open up the drawer, nothing was in there. Okay. And then I've seen flickering of lights here at the studio when we've talked about ghosts. It's very strange. And there's also people that swear they've heard voices. So there's a lot of people here in the building that are thinking to themselves, this is necessary. So I wanted to talk to you about what we're going to do next week, what you're going to do, and how you even find these things with your instruments. So let's start with what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I want to do is just exactly what you're doing now, and that is find out stories. We do things differently. I shouldn't say differently. I guess it's a lot of people do the same thing than we do, but we just hopefully do it better than them. But we don't employ any kind of psychics or anything.
Oh, no, I clicked the wrong button. I'm sorry. I was playing that back, and I pressed the wrong button on the computer screen. I thought I was minimizing it, and I wasn't. Here, let me see if I can bring that back up.
With things that measure temperature fluctuations, both, things like ambient room room temperature fluctuations, things like that. We have multiple pieces of equipment. Like I said, we've been at it for a long time, and we're going to get all those things in there, get set up, and we'll actually get a real good EVP session going where we get to ask some questions and see if we can get some responses. Oh. Maybe we can, whether it be an audio response, whether it be something on one of our meters and gauges that we use. And the thing of it is, we really deal in what kind of things we can hopefully be able to prove or disprove. Uh-huh. So anytime somebody tells me something that's happening in this particular area, my mind is already saying, well, it could be this, it could be that, it could be that. Here's a possible logical explanation. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at all that kind of stuff and see, because it's only by weeding out the logical explanations where you can really get something and say, I have no explanation for this. And consequently, that is paranormal. Paranormal just means it means outside the bounds of normal. So,
I got a text message from my wife. She wants to know if that technology could be used in her home so I can hear her better. Too many times she says I don't hear her. So she's like, hey, can you help amplify what I'm saying? So I blame it on it. She says selective hearing. I don't know if that's the case. I think just wearing headphones so long have hurt my ability to hear. All right, so we'll go around. Have you ever done this live before on air? Because what we're going to do is I already talked to our engineer, and we set up where I have this special technology where I'm going to be able to walk around with you while we're doing these test in the building, broadcasting it live while we're looking for these things.
Great, fantastic.
Have you ever done that before live on air?
We've never done exactly like that, certainly not on a radio, so that'll be a little bit different for us. Now, the idea that we are filming for our own show mm-hmm. kind of is a little bit similar. Obviously, it's taped, but it has a lot of interaction. So I don't know what your plans are, if you maybe have, I would love to be able to take call. I don't know what your plans are, but if people had questions about things, I would love to be able to answer that. We do public investigations all across the country. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work out west, but we go all over the place, and we hold public investigations quite often. We're going to be holding up a public investigation, the Missouri State Penitentiary coming up at some point here, the Lent Mansion, some other places. So absolutely, we would, this is something we're really looking forward to doing and looking forward to getting feedback. And we're very used to bringing in people who have never done it before. That we're very, very used to.
All right, so I'm going to have to stop it there just for the sake of time. So that was part of the interview we had a little earlier tonight. If you missed it and you want to listen to that full interview we had where we're talking about what's going to happen on the show next Wednesday night with John Lindsay, paranormal investigator, go to KMOX.com/overnight and listen to it on the podcast. I don't believe in this stuff. I don't. I don't believe in ghosts. But I'm saying that when I started talking to people around the building, there were all kinds of stories. They said, check this out, check that out. I think it'll just be fun for us to do it. I really do. You can also follow me on Twitter, @RyanRecker. Hard to believe the weekend is here. Oh, I missed the clap. Ah, that would have been a good clap for the weekend. Please be safe. Enjoy yourself. And we'll be back again Sunday night starting at 11 o'clock. In between now and then, if you want to reach me, @RyanRecker on Twitter is always a good one. We'll see you. Have a good weekend.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.